In the curve, left but there without a word. It's my struggle to the top, so sit back and observe. It's absurd what we live in with nothing given. So as long as I'm living, I can never gain the money. It's like the second you on top of the world, you push the next by the one you thought you knew who they were. Come to expect worst case scenario. Trust is no longer relevant. Vision becomes fog. Decisions made from sentiment. You're worse when the devil seizes the opportunity. A unity of cruelty. Will you surrender to this manipulation when the man's character is judged by his stubbornness in a confrontation?
By right the edge, just one more trick and you fall. You call yourself a warrior, just don't win the town.
Nah, not even. I might as well be deaf, taking in all these cowards' lies. Will I let him destroy everything I built? If I do, the only one to focus his eye, looking up to the sky, looking for answers, questioning why. The second I almost give in, I hear this reply. Been thrown to the curve, left but there without a word. This my struggle to decide, so sit back and observe. This absurd world we live in, with nothing given. So as long as I'm living, I can never give in. Been thrown to the curve, left but there without a word. This my struggle to decide, so sit back and observe. This absurd world we live in, with nothing given. Like the second you graduate, life starts to infiltrate. Shit gets so serious, no longer just a piece of cake. But see, I got started just a little earlier, from banging in the hood thinking I was some sort of warrior. Till I got a hernia, up older as a teen. But the I be changing diapers at the age of 16. Molded into a soldier by the petty rules of these streets. But molded into a man when my son said that he
ain't reppin' no more capping, he ain't the G I thought he was. How can he take care of a life when he can't take care of his own?
I might as well be deaf, taking in all these cowards' lies. Supposed to be a soldier by my side, but really a snake in disguise. How can you judge when you don't have the heart to walk through what I've been through?
My check.
Whispers, and suddenly I hear this reply. Been thrown to the curve, left but there without a word. This my struggle to decide, so sit back and observe. This absurd world we live in, with nothing given. So as long as I'm living, I can never give in. Been thrown to the curve, left but there without a word. This my
not gonna be blowing my smoke this way. Jake, like, I'm focused right now. He said, I'm trying to equalize this, man. You over here talking to me. You mess it up.
It's all good, bro.
You messing up my concentration right now. Don't you see I'm focused, brother? Focus,
yo,
man.
Yeah.
I'm trying to turn it down, man.
Let's get to the real talk, baby, with Archie and Sophie in the house.
That's right.
Hey.
We are
the Bad Boys of Radio is back.
We are here once again.
Once again, it's on.
Yeah, man. Had a little good 2 weeks hiatus, you know.
Yeah, nice little intermission, man. I kind of needed that, man.
You know, re-energize, recuperate, all that great stuff. But we back.
Yeah, we back, man. We back. You know, man, in real talk, man, everybody has personal issues that they go through, you know, on now and then. And this life comes at you from all different shapes, forms, and fashions. You know, like me, myself, personally. We'll get to that later, man. We get to let that later. How you doing today, Mr. Archie?
Man, I am wonderful, man.
I see that, man. You're glowing right now, man.
Listen,
like a phoenix rising from the earth. What's going on, brother?
Tomorrow is the birthday.
Hey! How old you turning, about 47?
I can't.
You
turning? No, I'm 20.
Oh, shoot. Dog years.
I'm 20. Once again. We're going backwards.
Oh, that's nice.
Nah, man, it's been good, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Went and voted for the first time yesterday.
Hey, hold on. Wait. Salute to that,
hey,
man.
Hey, you know?
Get a round of applause for that, man.
Yeah, man. So I went out and voted yesterday for the first time. You know, I'm super not into politics. It was like voting for me yesterday was one of those things. But we're going to get into that. We have a special guest here. Yeah. Hey. Go ahead and introduce yourself to the world.
We're going to let you introduce yourself because yes, nobody knows their self better than themselves.
Absolutely.
Unless they're talking to someone like you.
Oh. Yeah, that's true.
Some try. My name's Heather Martinson. I work over at Community Services for Prince William. Awesome. And I'm just happy to be here. Super excited about the conversation. It's been great getting to know the two of you, three of you already tonight. So I am excited to see what we talk about.
Hey, awesome.
That's all right, man.
Yeah, I'm excited as well.
Bought in the big guns tonight talking about mental illness.
Bang, bang, man.
You feel me?
That's definitely a big thing within our community, man.
Yeah, and man. Because it's something we don't talk about, bro.
Like, just in America.
It's a lot of that we don't talk about. But we're going to get into that. Man, I'm feeling good, though.
Yeah. I really am. Before we get to Miss Heather, do you want to just do a recap of what's been going on real fast?
And of
we
can course, move to bro. Like, you know, everything in the world, man, from the verdict of the Breonna Taylor. Well, it wasn't even a verdict.
Yeah.
It was like a just something to do, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't even find an officer. He didn't even get convicted of the killing, of the murder.
He got
convicted because the bullets went into the neighbor's house. Like, it went into her wall.
Into her wall.
So he got convicted of something that they ain't have to do
and
nothing.
And I forgot exactly what the charge was, but it's basically like negligence use of a gun.
That's, like, yo.
Pretty much is what he got charged for.
It pisses me off to the point of, not only is it not any justice, like, that's forefront. That's on the forefront. But this is a woman. It wasn't a man. You know what I'm saying? Then it's like how they try to, they try to dress it up as far as, oh, he shot first, but ain't no like, come on, bro. You shot almost goddamn a rack of bullets in these people's house.
Yeah.
Like, if my gun is registered to me and you shoot in my house, then what am I supposed to do? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. When you have a no-knock warrant and you have a legal gun, so that should mean that in your own vicinity, you should be able to protect yourself or your family, right?
Yeah, and then it's like, it's a woman. This is a woman, bro. Like that's what hurt even worse. Like, it's a woman. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a crime that happened against a woman.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A black woman. So it's like, you don't convict this officer is still free on the murder.
Right. I believe there was three of them.
Breonna Taylor. I seen something where it said the autopsy, like, the bullet that hit her, it killed her instantly.
Right.
So it's like, come on, bro. Like, this man shot this girl and y'all convicting him of goddamn the wall.
Bullets
going into another neighbor's house. So if the bullets never went into her house, then that means he would have never got caught
Never found anything. And not even just that, but it's just that what he was found on is not even a felony, first and foremost. So the most that he would have to do is a year. Bro. And if you're doing, anyone that knows about anything about time, if you're doing misdemeanor time, you got to do 55% of it. And then that's only on the judge's leniency. So in all actuality, the only thing that he may possibly get is probation. So you're telling me that you're going to get probation for killing a young innocent woman who has been sleeping.
She was asleep.
No charges.
What the hell?
Not even just that, but she is also an EMS.
Bruh, listen, she was asleep. Exactly. Like, it wasn't, how the hell can I do any damage to you while I'm asleep? Like, unless you sleepwalk for real, and beating people up. Like, how, bruh? Like, the woman was sleeping in her own home, bruh, like. Come on,
night, man. You know, and that's just crazy to me, man. And another thing that bothers me about it is the fact that the attorney general actually, they're coming out with it right now that the grand jury is the first time in history that the grand jury is actually filing a complaint against the attorney general on the grounds that they were not even given the opportunity to charge officers.
I hope they and fry his ass. Hey, listen, I ain't gonna lie to you.
He never even brought the possibility of charging the officers to the grand jury in the first place, which means that you already had an ulterior motive from the beginning.
I don't care what nobody says. Like, listen, I pray they fry him.
Point blank, they gotta fry him, man.
Point blank and simple. I'm talking about the attorney general dude.
I want him to go. Yeah,
because it's
go.
Like, okay, so you have great, you know what I'm saying? Every police officer is not bad, okay?
I'm not saying that.
But when you don't speak up for the ones that are, like, against the ones that are bad, it makes you look bad, too.
Oh, most definitely.
Period. That's like when your mom would beat everybody in the house because nobody said anything. So everybody get their ass whooped. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but everybody should get in trouble.
But think about it. The reason that your mom, you know what I mean? The reason that my mom, you know what I'm saying, and our moms and mothers like ours beat everybody in the house is because if you're not speaking up to who did what wrong, that means you are condoning it.
Yeah,
that
that's
means
what
that
I'm
you
saying.
Are
yeah.
agreeing with the action.
Of course.
So that means that if, oh, you think it's okay, well, now everybody go. Got to go
so,
down.
But
and
no,
I feel
I'm
the same way
like,
about him as well.
So it's like, dog, you, and then it's like, once everything happens, this is what pisses me off the most about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Once the truth comes out, now
six months later,
now everybody wants to tell their version. Oh, we didn't do this. Oh, we forgot to do this. Like everybody wants
later.
To run and try to cover up the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When this, all of this could have been avoided when you knew who did it. You knew what happened. Let that go. Let him go down, bro. Like,
right.
Like, come on.
Well, that must mean that
I
he's
know
trying
it's
to
the
protect
code.
Somebody.
I know it's the code that
right.
they have, but. Right is right, wrong is wrong.
Wrong
that's what they tell us.
Right.
That's what the hell they going. We definitely gonna go down.
Oh yeah,
like ain't gonna be a thought about it.
Wait, first of all, I went down for stuff I wasn't even around for.
Man, come on,
I was 400.
Man.
I wasn't even at the location, and I almost went down for something, man.
So like that's the point. So that's what blows me, young. Like man, it blows me on a bunch of degrees. Like first of all, I will never get mad at that dude for even trying to shoot back at the police because I'm here with my woman.
Mm-hmm.
I got to protect us.
Right.
Point blank, period.
Well, I mean, let me ask you one question.
To do.
Like, if somebody broke into your house, well,
I'm shooting them.
At 2 o'clock in the morning, your
I'm
wife is asleep,
them.
You're laying down, you're being comfortable.
Listen.
If somebody just busted in your door, didn't announce yourself, would you not think that you might be trying
I'm
to get
blowing
robbed
you
or
across
home
the street. Listen, I'm
exactly.
blowing you across the street. For one, everybody, when it's time to go to bed, everybody that's in here is supposed to be here.
Right.
Period. That's what my mom always told me. That's what's gonna happen.
Exactly.
Everybody that's supposed
you
to be in
this mama.
House, man.
You
listen. Everything
mama.
That everybody supposed to be in your house when you go to sleep supposed to be there.
Exactly.
Unless they tell you. Hey, listen.
That's what my mom told me.
I'm gonna be late. I'm gonna be late.
Exactly.
I'm gonna be this. I'm gonna be that. Somebody gonna
so
tell
exactly
you.
You know exactly what's going on but, in your home while you're sleeping.
But at the
right.
end of the day, when it's time to go to bed, you belong in that house. You're gonna be in that house.
Right.
So if I even remotely hear any type of banging or
it's
kicking
a
in,
I'm gone. I'm like that in my house right now.
I'm
you know, I got a 15-year-old, I got a 12-year-old, I got my wife, and I got a dog. If I know the dog is in the cage, I know both of my children are sleeping, I know my wife's beside me. If I hear anything, I'm on a full alert.
I am shooting
I'm on 1,000
you.
Wondering what's going on.
Point blank simple.
And it's just the fact somebody left the window
That's
open and
have,
the wind blew.
And according know? To, now get, don't let me, now I'm going to paraphrase this, but when it comes to the weapon, like when it comes to your amendment, you
right.
have the right to protect your kingdom, right?
Yes.
Like your kingdom. And your kingdom
yeah,
is
your haven.
Home.
Yeah, your haven.
That's your home.
Yep.
So if I am registered to mm-hmm. carry this firearm,
yep.
went through firearm classes, all of that thing, all that concealed
right, right.
weapons
got my
training,
concealed weapon permit, everything, right?
I am protecting my domain, my castle,
right,
my
right.
home. So mm-hmm. if you bring your ass in there unannounced, you're getting shot. It ain't gonna be too. I see you in the hospital, bro. Like
right.
we talk about
well,
it,
I mean,
we'll you, talk about it you, while you're in the hospital.
You can even see that. See the fact that even though nobody has been really charged for the death of Breonna Taylor, even though they made the settlement, they
yeah.
made a settlement outside of court during civil
yeah,
court. During civil court, yeah. so there's no. And people think that Ben Crump, they like Ben Crump, never gets anybody arrested. First of all, I forgot what the other side is called. The people that the. Prosecutor. The prosecutor is the one that prosecutes the cases. Ben Crump handles civil cases, all right? That means that he gets the money for the individuals or make people have to pay some sort of a fine. It's a civil case. When you're dealing with criminal cases, that's when you're dealing with the prosecutor. The prosecutor is usually led by the government, by the county, by the municipality, or by the village or the township or the home or whatever it may be called. So it's not Ben Crump is losing these cases because he's winning the money for the people. It's just that the state and the county and the government are not charging these people. So the prosecutor are not prosecuting them directly.
Oh my goodness! Speak on it, player. Speak on it, player.
Because a lot of people don't understand the way that the criminal justice system really works.
You're talking to a whole paralegal right here.
Yeah, man. You know, I
whole
worked
paralegal.
A little bit.
You feel
a little bit, man. I understand it.
He was
that's
in the
I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember the word at first. I was like, ah.
He was
go.
In the books.
That's why. That's what bothers me. So, if anyone think that there is. Any that Breonna Taylor was possibly in the wrong in any way, shape, form, or fashion, just know that the county allotted her a couple of million dollars, her family a couple
that means
of million
they were
dollars.
In the wrong.
That means they were in the wrong. They were trying
so
to hush her. They were trying to be quiet, as well as long as the fact
so
that they tried
up.
To, while her boyfriend was being incarcerated, they tried to get him to come on and say that she was a drug dealer, that he knew
exactly.
that she was doing something with some drugs, trying to go ahead and contaminate the evidence. You know, so he being a stand-up guy, I don't know him personally. I don't know what he was. But I know for that moment in time, he was a stand-up gentleman that had a lot of values and morals, and I consider him an admirable individual because he would not talk bad about the dead. And he was like, I'd rather take this charge than instead of putting dirt on that dead woman's name. And I salute that right
there. And he was like, that's my girl still.
Yes.
I don't care what you're talking about. You know what I mean? Like, right. It blows me, dog. Like, it really pisses me off, man. And then it's like, coming from black men, it's like, you know, we have to step up and do better. We got to be held accountable.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy out here nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm tell the truth, man. That's what we do here.
It's
like,
talk.
It's like, I understand. Like, I understand the way life works. I just, you know, getting off probation, going through the system, everything. But it's still, I'm not afraid of nothing but God, Allah. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I am definitely, I do get nervous when a police officer gets behind me. Like, this is what's happening now because of the way the world is, bro. Like, you seeing police officers shoot people just for no reason.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, now we're seeing it. Like, we heard about it before, but now we actually see it.
Like, you're on camera, mm-hmm. and I don't care, record me. Yeah. And they still beat
you
up.
I'm recording you too. Bow.
You know what I'm saying? They still beat you up. So it's like, young. So it's like, it's scary, bro. And this is what you have to tell your sons. You know what I'm saying? You got to teach your daughters this. Like, man, it's crazy, bro. Like, you got to teach. It's crazy how now it's like you got to teach. You got to teach them.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. Let me give out one disclaimer real fast. The thoughts, and intentions from Safi Williams are not of those of Chris Archie or Miss Heather Martin.
No.
And those thoughts of Chris Archie are not those of Safi Williams or Miss Heather Martin. And Miss Heather Martin's thoughts are not directly reflected of myself, Chris Archie, or Radio Talk Podcast. Right. I just want to put that disclaimer out there. That's why she's not being included in this conversation at this moment in time.
Yeah.
We will bring her in when it's the mental health time. For right now, it's a Real Talk Podcast time.
We're just talking. You know what I mean? We're just talking. Jump in,
but
for the most part, we're trying to protect her for tomorrow when she goes to work.
Exactly.
I don't want nobody to be like, you were on there cutting up.
Right.
Who are you, Heather? Like, I don't want that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
We're not doing that. We're not doing that. So what time is it?
What do you think about the election debates and all of that great stuff?
Let's get into it. You talking about the circus, and man?
You can engage in this one.
In certain parts, you know. All right, so we'll ask you first, real fast.
Yes.
What did you think about the debate?
It was very toddler-esque. Okay. And bringing it to mental illness on some levels, it showed a lot of narcissistic traits with our current president.
All right.
The bullying, the over talking, shouting, whatever you want to call that. But I think on the other hand, you know, we were talking earlier about Biden and his kind of quietness in some
way.
Stoicness, depending on how you look at it. But you have to remember he has a diagnosed stuttering problem
since birth. He's always had a speech impediment.
And so people who have that have to really concentrate, especially when they get worked up,
mm-hmm.
Which he was. You could see it all
over
his face.
Oh, yeah.
I thought his bang
told my man
was
to shut up a couple times.
Whenever Trump was talking, was just like kind of berating him. You could just see him just kept closing his eyes. It was like it was painful. Like it was somebody just like scratching nails on a chalkboard.
That
like,
must be tough. That must be tough. Like you have a speech impediment and you got to think about cussing the other dude out and you can't get it out in time. You're like, mother, look. Hold on. You just wait. You got to write it down to yourself.
Zip it.
Right.
So how did you, like, from a clinical standpoint, I would like to know the breakdown from a clinical standpoint, like the certain traits. Like, let's go with 45th. All right? Did I say that right?
46th? Yeah, 45th.
Okay. 45th. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't vote for him anyway.
This is your president.
I don't care. I voted. I didn't vote for him. Let's say that. And I added my name in there. Yeah, that's what I do. But all jokes aside, though. Like, let's go with him. What did you see? Like, from a clinical standpoint, what did you see?
Like I said, there was a lot of bullying, a lot of talking over. But I think just talking to friends who are also in the field of social work and clinical work, we all agreed it could be really triggering to people. I mean, if people have been in abusive or kind of powerless relationships, having someone, the leader of the nation, talk like that could be triggering. I mean, we're still sitting here talking about it, you know, two or three days later. We're all anxious. So I think it was a lot of anxiety producing. And, you know, for him to come out and not condone or, you know, not to condemn anti-racist groups.
Oh, man.
You know, they're...
I was going to leave you out that one.
Sorry, I can't. When you talk about mental health, you got to talk about it all.
Right.
Facts.
And, you know, I, like I said, sometimes I get myself in trouble. But you have to talk about it. And so when you have someone that's seemingly, and with his own words, perpetrating, you know, violence against people with his words.
Right.
It can be damaging and, and, you know, leaving lasting kind of effects on people's trauma.
Right.
So let's get so now jumping right into the mental illness part. All right. Give us, can you please give the us and the people like history background? Like, what is mental illness, mental health, like the whole breakdown?
Yeah. Mental illness or some sort of mental health challenge is really anything that's diagnosable. We, as clinicians, have a diagnostic manual where there's a list of signs and symptoms that people may experience. And it really comes down to anything that negatively impacts your daily life. You know, there's there's a state of, I may have been anxious coming, you know, driving here to come on the show.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I have anxiety.
Okay.
Because there are different situations that if you're not anxious or nervous or angry or sad, you know, those are emotions. They're not your kind of state of being. So that's one of those things, like, it's okay to be sad. I tell young people that all the time, especially men. It's okay to be sad. But if you're sad for 2-3 weeks for no reason, then you may have depression, and that's okay too.
Right. See, that's what I was going to ask you. Before we get, I'm going to jump back to there, but real fast. So, just so the people know, because I know I already know, I don't know, I know that Archie already knows as well. Can you tell us who you are, Ms. Martin, and what it is that you do exactly?
I can do that. I'm Heather. I work over at... I work over at Community Services, which is the county governmental agency here in Prince William.
Is that the CSB at Fralazzo?
We have the... Yes.
You moved it.
We've got the office at Fralazzo. We've got one in Manassas over by Costco, over by the library.
Awesome. See, she's giving you all directions if you need help, okay? Right. Listen, follow the yellow brick road.
Yep. And so we've got two offices on either end. We are kind of that one stop for mental health and substance use that any resident of the county and the two cities, Manassas and Manassas Park, have access to.
Okay.
We do, you know, clinical work around substance use and mental health and all of the stuff that comes with that.
Right.
I work in the youth and family division, which we have therapists in each one of the high schools.
Okay.
So if you have a high schooler or you know of one that needs a little extra support, there's a therapist at each one of those high schools.
So we're talking about Manassas. So you're talking like Osborne Park, Stonewall.
Yep. Yep. And here at Garfield.
And Garfield as well, Woodbridge High School.
Yep. Okay. We've got one in each. So
awesome.
If you're in
awesome.
High school, independent, all of them. So we have that. I work in the prevention field. So while day-to-day not a clinician, I do a lot of training and these conversations around mental health.
Awesome.
And substance use. So we talk a lot about suicide prevention, wellness, but also substance use, you know.
Right.
Alcohol, which is skyrocketing amongst people in COVID.
Right. I can see that.
And
well, I mean, one of the only things they kept open was the ABC store.
Right.
So
right. That was a nightmare for us in prevention because we're trying to tell people.
Can't get your car washed, but you can get this bottle of Jack Daniels.
Right.
That's crazy. What are some, we have a question. We have two of them.
Sure.
What are some of the, hold on, let me see. Somebody just got back in. What are some of the possibilities to improve mental illness and diverse communities?
I think the first thing is to start talking about it.
Communication.
You know, yeah. Historically, in minority communities especially, there's still a stigma around helping, seeking help, right. talking mm-hmm. about it.
Right. I agree.
And that comes from, we were talking about, you know, racism, that systemic racism that's been around for hundreds and millions of years where there wasn't a lot of access to care.
Right.
But it also comes from that kind of historical trauma and adversity that some communities face.
Where, right, right.
You know, as a mom who may have experienced abuse, you know, I might pass that down through my behaviors, words, actions to my kids.
Right. Subconsciously, not right. even knowingly.
And it's not like you're not even, they're not even, you know, we're not trying. Right. But it's just that ingrained, and it comes back to trauma sometimes, right. and because, you know, it's an emotional reaction. Mm. And, you know, you can't help it. It's right. just how you react to certain situations. So I think talking about it, recognizing what's happened, we mm-hmm. do a lot of work recently in the past couple of years around adverse childhood experiences, right. which is anything bad, substance use, incarceration, divorce, neglect, mm-hmm. anything bad that may have happened to you as you're a kid, how that follows you as you grow up.
Right.
Whether it's mental health or physical health, you know, cardiac issues, that kind of stuff, because you're carrying...
Does stress cause mental illness?
It can. I mean, it can trigger. Yeah. But also, if you're always worrying about stuff, a lot of people can't focus on their well-being. So it's you know...
Tough.
Right. So you're constantly just living in that moment of stress. Right, and reacting, and not...
So you're being reactive and not proactive.
Right.
Understand. So question as well, because I know that mental health is very big in America right now. What do you think brought mental health to the forefront of conversation for America over this last decade somewhat? I feel like definitely over the last 5 years, but I've seen a lot more attention brought to it within the last decade, you know, just being able to be spoke about in open conversation more lightly.
I really do think it was a lot of people being honest about what was going on, you know, mm-hmm. and what was really kind of the cause of a lot of these societal things, right. Whether it was school shootings or mm-hmm. other chaos that was happening in society, really recognizing that mental illness was at the foundation of a lot of bad things that were going on. Right. And once we start talking about it, you can't fix a problem you don't have a word for. Or
right.
you can't fix something if you don't identify the problem. So mm-hmm. I think it really started with that. People started identifying mental illness as a priority, but also as a problem that mm-hmm. was plaguing. You know, it's 1 out of 5 American adults has a mental illness or a mental health challenge.
Right, right.
And so I think that was the start. And I think a lot of the work around stigma mm-hmm. and even language
right.
and, you know, watching how we talk about mental illness.
Right.
Which
being
is hard.
Being a little bit more empathetic about right. it instead of being dismissive.
So,
right.
So how, what ages, because somebody asked, but it was a great question.
Yeah,
what ages will you start to see if that, like, if someone, a child or somebody is affected with mental illness? Is there age?
Or
what should you look for? What
right.
are the signs?
The median age is probably, I mean, a lot of people don't like to kind of diagnose a mental illness until after puberty, you know, high
okay.
schoolish,
right.
because of all the hormones that are going on. You know, mm-hmm. you don't know if it's just you're having a day.
But how?
Or...
So, question, that brings up a good question.
Yeah.
So, if they don't like to diagnose the mental illness part, but they'll diagnose you with ADHD and everything else, though.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
No, and there is a lot of talk with a lot of clinicians and a lot of research that's been going on, especially with ADD and ADHD, and is it a normal reaction for a 5-year-old to start twirling around in his chair? Because he's been sitting in a classroom for 8 hours.
Right.
Or is it something else? And, you know, there are a lot of us, myself included, that kids need to be kids. And unless it becomes violent or something, you know, overboard, they have to have that time to be a kid. Wiggle, I don't know, do whatever, doodle. So they do. There is a lot of diagnosing of ADHD and ADD as younger kids.
Right, right.
But we try, and best practice is to try to hold off on diagnosing until later in teenage years, because to let, like I said, let those behaviors and hormones kind of level out.
Right.
But we are. I mean, we have a great class that I teach and a couple of my colleagues. It's called Mental Health First Aid. We have a youth version, which is for people that work with young people, between, you know, 12 to 18. That it's a whole class on, you know, recognizing the signs and symptoms of, you know, what's typical teenage behavior, what's right. typical, you know, developmentally appropriate behavior, and what's not.
Right.
Okay. And if it's not, if it's in the not category, what do you do about it? And a lot of time it's, you know, asking and finding a professional that can help. But if they don't have access to care, going back to, you know, what's wrong with our mental health system, right. if they don't have that access, how can, you know, we as supportive adults or that young person themselves help themselves, you know, cope with right. their struggles?
So I know in especially the African-American community, like, mental illness is something that, like, we don't talk about at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the homes, everywhere. So it's like some a lot of family members may be suffering from mental illness, but it's like the denial thing, like where they be like, I'm good, I'm straight, I'm this, I'm that. So it's like, how can we, the family members who see that, how can we help them? Like, what do we do? What are some tools that we right. can, like, what are some tools and some type of, like, steps or like exercises or however, you know what I'm saying? Like, how can we help that person in our family that may be, like you said, it's a negative thing that keeps going on for just absolutely no reason. So how right. can we help him or help them?
I mean, I go back to, you know, just letting that person notice. You know, a lot of times I think people need to know we care. And mm-hmm. and even our family, sometimes we get going in day-to-day life and, you know, it's like, oh, I love you, bye, see ya.
Right.
But really sitting down and just, hey, you know, hey, I've noticed this and I'm really concerned. And, you know, you may get that, I'm fine. But if you say it a couple times, I'm the squeaky wheel in my family.
Hey, me too.
And I'm sure most of them sometimes hate that I have come into the profession that I have. But it's really asking those hard questions like, hey, how are you feeling? Mm-hmm. You know, I've noticed this. And hey, you know, if you don't want to talk to me about it, how about you talk to someone else?
Right, right.
You know, growing up as a kid, I was hell on wheels a lot of times. And I didn't want to talk to my Ditto. Parents. So my mom, you know, thankfully said, you don't have to talk to me. And frankly, you know, I don't necessarily want to talk to you either. Go find someone else. You right. know, go find my best friend's mom right. or my government teacher or someone right, right. that I could talk to. And so a lot of times it's just finding those outlets. But also, when you ask, be prepared. And I think sometimes this is the catch, too. When you say, how are you doing? I've noticed this. And someone just lays it all out.
Oh, my goodness.
Man. And then you're like, oh.
It's like you wasn't ready for
right,
all
you're
that.
Like, oh, yeah.
crap. God,
it's funny.
It's like, oh, crap. I didn't mean. I like, you know, like, it's like when you're in the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I'm that person that's always talking to the, you know, cashier. Like, hey, how was your day? Blah, blah, blah. And then you get the one that was like, oh, my day was so awful. And
oh,
you're
my
like,
gosh.
I was like, I wasn't really, I mean, I was.
That's
but
my daughter.
I didn't need all of that.
Right.
And I've been the same thing. So, you know, cashier's like, how was your day? And someone I've known forever because I go to the same store. And she's,
right.
And I'm like, oh, my God, this would happen. And she's looking at me like, could you just get out of the line?
right. It was small talk, man.
Right.
Like, I didn't mean
right,
to really ask you what's going
on. Don't start crying. It's fine.
It's funny.
So I think you have to also be prepared when you have that conversation to be prepared that there might be
something going on.
Right. There might be some real stuff that comes out of that person's mouth when you're like, oh, no. Right.
And then it's a lot of times, like, I know, like, now, like, what's going on now in the world, like, suicide is real.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide is inclined.
Is at an all-time high.
Yeah, it's inclined. You know what I'm saying? It's on an incline.
Right.
So it's like, and that comes from a lot of us, and I say us as the general population people when I say that. It comes from us just not sometimes wanting to be bothered with that person or be bothered with their mess when they're going through a lot of stuff. Because I find it hard at times to try to converse with somebody who I feel like I'm bugging them. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
bro, what's wrong? What's up? What's up? You can talk to me. What you going through? What's up? Like, nothing.
And then
like,
nothing. Nah, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
So it's like,
but you know it's not good.
Yeah,
you know it's not.
It's hard for that breakthrough. And like somebody asked it and I was thinking it too. Is cannabis like a good resource for that? Like, can they smoke cannabis to help them ease their thoughts? I mean, I'm like, for
real. And then
like,
I have a follow-up question to that as like, well. I have a follow-up question.
Like, it's medical, right?
She's like, hold on, we still in Virginia,
yeah,
right?
I, like, well, yeah, no,
I don't live in Virginia, though.
Like,
oh, I don't live in Virginia no more.
Well, then you may do whatever you want to do all right, in Washington, hey. D.C. No, hey. I mean, I think...
Booyah.
Some people are very jealous of you right now. So I think with marijuana, cannabis, I mean, it's still illegal federally. I have to say that. And in the state of Virginia, even though I think that's going to change... pretty rapidly.
I might move back.
Don't. Commonwealth. Yeah.
But it has been, I mean, people, especially with anxiety, depression, people do use other substances to cope.
Because I know I know CBD is, like, they give CBD to, like, the veterans.
Yep.
And a lot of PTSD people
helps
and all
your
that.
Depression
so,
helps with your anxiety.
Yeah, so I know they give that. Things, yeah. I'm talking about straight, you know, THC type stuff. Miss Heather, but no, I just wanted to know, like, but no, because it's like for real, man. It's we don't talk about this stuff.
Well, it's one of those things where, just like, you know, drinking or anything that we're consuming, you know, right. It could be cookies or chips or whatever your thing is. If it's working for you in a positive way, I don't have a problem with it.
Right, right.
Personally, if it starts impacting the way the rest of your life. So, you know, there are people that go home and have a glass of wine.
Right,
just
right.
To, like, you know, chill out, hang, mm-hmm. You know.
But they only have a glass.
Right. And it's not usually because they're feeling crappy. It's just
drink
be like,
the
I'm
whole
just going
bottle.
Home and
that's
make dinner.
Wine down.
Right.
Drink the whole
but
bottle.
If, right. If they go home and they're having an awful day or feeling depressed or anxious and then, you know, drink a whole bottle, it's really the motivation behind it, I think,
right.
And the impacts of it. So for some people, yes, marijuana works as that kind of, is that,
oh, yeah.
Right.
But like I said, it's still illegal in the state of
Virginia.
Yes.
It's decriminalized, but
right.
It is illegal.
Right.
Okay, you can still get charged.
No, she's plugging. She's plugging right now. She's a government official, so she has to plug
that's
it.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's, I'm right with it. I'm right with it. Federally, it is not legal, guys.
Right there.
Okay?
But it also, you know, for someone that is, I know I'm much older than the two of you, but someone my age, whose brain is fully developed,
mm-hmm.
If I was going somewhere and doing something, even with alcohol, you know, my brain's developed.
Right.
When we start talking about marijuana, I think that perception of harm has decreased to the point where people think it's okay.
Right, right, right.
My biggest concern is with young people because their brains aren't
fully developed.
Right. Our brains aren't fully developed until now 25, mm-hmm. almost 30. And so once you
especially
start,
for men.
Right.
Especially for men.
So once you start putting cannabis, THC, anything into that, you know, wiring brain, you're setting yourself up for some sort of dependence, whether it's physical
I agree with that.
You know, it's like smoking. Smoking has been shown to relieve anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at people that smoke and you tell them, you know, that's going to kill you, you know, stop.
But it feels so good.
Right. But it's
it feels
helping,
so good.
It's helping
though.
Them in a way, I mean, to control that anxiety.
So basically, everything, nothing in excess, I mean, in abscess, and anything could be okay with moderation. Well, not anything. Not
if
anything.
If it's legal.
If it's legal. If it's legal. If it's legal, then moderation.
Plug.
So
can't get mad at her
so,
at work.
So I have a question. It kind of runs hand in hand with that.
And if your brain is fully developed.
Fully developed helps as well. Because I know that you know, when I was younger, I started smoking, you know, marijuana at a very early age. I got put into a drug class, and it was something that they said it stuck with me, saying that when you first start using, is the same place where you stop developing mentally at.
Exactly.
Not mentally, but maybe emotionally at. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with that to an extent, because I know for a long time I used it as a dependency. Anytime I got sad, anytime I got mad, even if I was happy, it didn't matter what emotion I was going through during that time, I wanted to smoke marijuana. And that did anesthetize me. I mean, it did numb me to the world until it came to the point where I was like, so I got to a certain age and I'm like, wow, I need to deal with life on life's terms and not use a substance to help guide me through it. And it was a very difficult path for me. So off of that, I want to say, do you see that mental health and substance abuse go hand in hand, or are they separate?
There is a really high rate of co-occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times they do go in hand in hand. I think it's almost 80%, I think.
I can see that.
And so, you know, they do kind of drive together. And a lot of times it is that coping, you know, where people have some sort of mental health challenge or illness and they use substances to cope with it.
Right.
Or cover it up. But a lot of times, and sometimes, you know, if someone is drinking all the time, life gets crappy. And then depression sets in. So they can, you know, it can go either way, but they do usually come together.
Yeah.
And we see that a lot. And so
that's
it's often,
well.
Often the struggle is, which part do you kind of tackle first? You know, are we, do we start looking at mental health stuff and kind of leave the substance use? But you can't. You got to kind of look at the whole person and treat.
Because I would think
everything
that
together.
You wouldn't be able to treat somebody's mental until they were mentally capable of being able to handle
like
that.
Like the substance abuse part.
The substance abuse, yes. Yeah.
So
like,
you have to take out the substance abuse first.
Right.
You have to take that out first so you can get them to the point of understanding what is even going on.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's like a detox type of situation. Like you got to come off of the drugs so you can be fully conscious of the help.
Exactly.
So that leads me to a question of, are there programs, like funding programs or anything like that, out there for mental illness, mental health? Because I know that, when was it? Last year, you came, you gave me a bunch of information.
Yep.
That's how we came about, because I reached out. And I reached out to the boss,
my director,
Yeah, the boss. I reached out to the boss.
He said, straight over the middle, man. Let me go to the top.
Hey, listen, I wasn't playing. I wasn't playing.
That's how you do it.
I wasn't playing. I wanted answers.
Made it work.
Yes. I wanted answers. So look.
That's what I do.
Going straight to, look, I'm going to the top.
Right.
Somebody's going to give me.
We're playing no games.
Yeah. But no, I was having, I know it was my charity basketball game that we held, and we came in contact, and the day of the game, it's like, you gave me a bunch of information, suicide prevention and everything. So I wanted to know, like, for the people that are listening, the people that are tuned in, are there any programs in Prince William County, any hotlines, anything that, any information that they can go to or a website or anything that they can go to, just like, if they don't want to talk to somebody, because nowadays it's about the trust level. People don't want to talk to other or confide in other people because of you might go run your mouth.
Right.
So is there anything out there for those type of like, I just want to talk to this person?
Yeah, there are. I mean, we've got ACTS Helpline, which is right here in Dumfries. That number is 703-368-4141. And that's 24/7. So they have great volunteers that answer that hotline 24 hours a day. I know some of them personally, and they do great. I mean, they'll just listen. And they have been experiencing an uptick in phone calls in the last 6 months. And when we talked about it, so they're really busy. So that's a local number. There's the National Crisis Hotline, which is 800-273-TALK. Which is also 24/7, and usually answered locally. So it's either Northern Virginia or you're here in Dumfries that people are picking up the phone. And they do the same thing. I mean, they'll listen, but then they'll refer, you know, like, hey, I think you need to go talk to someone else a little closer to home.
Right.
And then give kind of local resources. We do have a crisis text line.
Right.
So people can text. And have that conversation via text after people, you know, after some texting, they do encourage people to call
in, right?
To have those verbal conversations, but it's been a great resource for the region in Northern Virginia.
So that's, hey, listen, real quick. So if you at a club, party, Babylon, anywhere that you want to text, just text what you going through. Look, I hate it here. I don't know what's going on. I need help. Send help fast. Like, you have a text line. You don't even got to talk.
You don't even got to talk, man.
You can just go ahead and text. You know
today's society. They don't like to talk. They don't like to look at human beings. They want to text. Just
there
text.
You go.
Well,
I'm in trouble.
And that's why we came together as a region and put that text line in place, because we realized we had a whole generation of, you know, younger people.
Texters.
That weren't reaching out to a hotline. Right. And, you know, we were able to fund that.
Are there any physical programs? Like somebody can, like I know with the COVID thing, they're doing the precautions and all of right. that. But do they still have any type of like physical programs? Like say somebody wanted to go and be able to talk. Do y'all have like those type of counselors yep. or
we are programs? Our, you know, community services has always been up and running, especially through COVID. We were doing a lot of telehealth. So, you know, I was talking to people through the screen.
Right.
Our doors are opening back up. We never shut them for, we do have an emergency services program. So yes, people ma'am. Can call community services directly and get emergency evaluations. So,
awesome.
You know, if you're concerned about someone, they say something that, you know, is critical and in crisis, you can call them and they'll come out and do an evaluation. The police department and community services is just starting a, talking about the police. A pretty new and innovative program, co-responding. So
that's what we need.
So we'll have a therapist.
Oh yeah, we got a whole phone call.
All right. And then after that, I have a question from one of the guests as well.
Yeah.
And then I want to pick back up where you Ready? Just were.
Hey caller, what's going on? How you doing? Welcome to the Real Talk Radio Show. How you doing?
Yo, yo, yo! I have a question.
Okay, what's your question?
Illness that normally uses it as a joke and say something happened in real life that has really traumatized them and they are truly suffering, but they've been trying to cover it up or, you know, use it as a joke, but they're truly suffering.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
That's deep. I know a lot of people like that.
Yeah, and I did a lot of work the last 15 years with high school students, and there's always those students that, you know, are telling their friends, you know, I'm going to kill myself, and they seem to be joking about it, and, you know, everything that said like that or any major concerns you have need to be taken seriously. So they may be joking about it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times laughter and humor is the best coping mechanism for people. You know, it's just easy to kind of laugh it off and be like, no, I'm cool. But you have to really tackle through that humor. And it may not, unfortunately, especially as friends and, you know, loved ones, it's hard to be that person that's just like, stop joking about it.
Like, nah, this is serious, man. Like,
So it might be finding someone else that can ask those tougher questions and, you know, hey, I'm tired of you joking about it. Sometimes you just have to get kind of tough about it and just be like, I'm tired of you joking. If you, you know, if you want to talk about it, we're going to go find you someone to talk about it with.
Right.
Oh. Okay. Thank you. I have another question. So are there any type of apps that a person or family member could use or download to, you know, be able to track symptoms, like COVID, you know, they have contact tracking and things of that nature. Are there anything like that out there?
Like apps. She said, are there any apps?
For help,
like
helpline?
For, yeah, like, you said apps.
Apps like iPhone apps.
Yeah. Or like something that they can go to. Am I right? Am I hearing you correctly?
That's correct.
Okay. Are there any apps that people can download that, like, can help them with?
Are you talking, are we talking about kind of like crisis apps? Like, I need help. I'm downloading this app. Or are we like talking more like
information
wellness?
Wellness, information, or, you know, tips and helpful things to deal with a family member who doesn't want to, you know, go to a clinic or talk to anyone. There's something that family member could do without them even knowing that family member is helping them.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
SAMHSA has a great parent and caregiver app that you can download. If you go to your iPhone store or your Google Play or whatever you got, you can find something about talk, and now I'm blanking on it. But they do have a really great one, and it's those tips and tricks, but it's also kind of crisis numbers. So if it gets to that point, they will, you know, start popping up crisis stuff. There are a lot of great mindful apps, mindfulness and meditation and self-care apps that are out there that are completely free. that also may be helpful. And
okay.
When we talk about, you know, there's a difference between like professional help and then self-help. A lot of times people aren't ready to get professional help yet. And so we really just need to be able to hold them safe and give them hope with things like, you know, self-care and those kind of apps where they really are looking at themselves a bit more.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate
Thank no, you. We appreciate that. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Real talk.
Thank you. So, in closing.
Let me ask her one question about this because I know we run out of time, but she said something very, very important, which I feel like is somewhat dealing with police reform, somewhat, and it's something that I'm really, really big on as well. You know, I am for reestablishing the police's position and the way that they patrol and look at the community or the way they handle the community. And I think she was just about to get into that, talking about I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I feel like you were leading toward police and therapists working together.
Yes, I was.
Okay.
And it's rolling out. It came into kind of effect and funded this summer, where a community service board, a CSB board therapist, will be riding along with designated police officers.
Right.
So especially during mental health crawls and crisis.
And what about like the domestic disturbances?
Also those.
Okay. Okay. Awesome.
Right now, the police department has a crisis intervention team,
right,
where if you are, you know, you have to call the police for domestic violence or abuse or mental health, someone's threatening suicide, that kind of stuff, they have crisis intervention team police officers that are trained by mental health professionals,
right,
and by people with real lived experience with mental health,
right.
And they go through a whole week training, and that, you know, it's to really soften some of those interactions. So I know locally PD is doing the best they can with what they have.
I'm sure they are.
And doing a lot of embracing these kind of out-of-the-box things, like having a therapist go with them.
Right.
Out and about. And we're one of the few police departments in the nation that has that currently.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And that's needed for the community.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So
definitely.
We appreciate you, ma'am.
No problem.
Our time is winding down.
This was a great talk, man. Honestly, would flow by. I didn't even know.
If you need me to come back, I'll
just say no more. Hey. We definitely want to have you back.
Part 2 coming up.
Man. That was awesome. This is great.
So in closing, as people heard, mental illness, man, is real. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of things that, like stress, things that happen in your childhood that is traumatizing that you still hold on to, that you still could continuously to think, you know what I'm saying, and let it affect you. That affects you in a negative way. Anything that affects you in a negative way over a period of time, correct?
Yep.
So with that and saying, like, it's a, like, reach out to somebody, man. Somebody that, if it's your pastor, your religious figure, whoever it is, if you just got to scream out to God, reach out to somebody that, so you can get it off you. Mm-hmm. So you can talk to somebody. You know what I'm saying? Exercise after you finish talking, it's also the conditioning period. Like, you, it's not just talking to them, it's also doing something about it. Getting out, just going to talk to a counselor if you have to, just somebody that just will listen. Find that person that will listen to what you have to say.
Right.
Sometimes it's not the feedback, it's just getting it out of you.
Deventing.
So, mental illness is real. Please, man, if you know somebody that is suffering from mental illness, approach them and try to intervene as far as, don't be aggressive. Just be like, hey, what's up, bro? I know this is going on. You want to talk about it. Of course, they're going to deny you. Nah, I ain't trying to talk about it. Oh, man, I'm good. I'm straight. But still, keep talking to them.
Right.
Engage with that person just to get the breakthrough. You know what I'm saying? Because eventually they're going to talk to you. So just try to get that breakthrough. Because we don't need people, you know what I'm saying, just going out of here just because they feel like nobody is listening. Because
they had a bad day, bad week, bad year. Like, you, especially, man, when we're talking about our ages. Because, like, me myself, I'm in my 30s. But I know I have probably about the same amount of life left on this earth that I have on this earth. So it's like, I don't want to, because I had a bad 30-something years, I don't want to mess up the next 30 of them.
Facts.
You know? So all I want to say is that health is wealth. Take care of yourself. When it comes to this mental health, it has a lot to do with the food that you eat as well. It has a lot to do with taking care of your body, putting the right things in your body, because if you have a strong mind, if you have a strong body, then more than likely your mind will be a little bit stronger. If you have a strong mind, make sure you keep your body strong as well. They work hand in hand together. Always call on your strong friend. I know a lot of us have strong friends out there who look like they're invincible, and you know they have the cloak of God on them, or they have a nice armor on them. But trust me, that armor gets a little bit rusty, and sometimes they lose their place in their foot and in the steps of God.
Facts.
So just make sure you check on your strong friends, because they need help as well. And if you do have a friend that you know is in trouble, and you see that they're not opening up, one thing that I always do is I start talking about my problems with them. I open up about myself first, and then that way it builds a little bit of rapport, builds a little bit of trust, and then you'll be surprised how it flows like Niagara Falls. With that being said,
I just wanted to quickly, can you plug those numbers in for the people once or just one last time?
Oh, yeah. Local hotline, 703-368-4141. The national hotline is 800-273-TALK. And then if you want the number
write this
for
down.
The yeah, write this down. The crisis text line, I wrote it down so I knew what it was. you can, because it's on my phone. You can, it is 85511. You can text connect to 85511, and that will connect you to the crisis text line.
So, man, just enjoy y'all. Rest of the week, mm-hmm. I know I will, because my birthday tomorrow.
Hey.
So just enjoy the rest of y'all week, man, and just understand, man, if don't nobody love you, God love you, your family, your kids, you got something to live for, man. Keep pushing. And exactly. We love y'all, man. That's real talk.
Real talk, man. We was here, man, live. Black. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Thank you, Ms. Heather, for coming out here and joining us today. This is an enlightening conversation. This is awesome. Man, this is great. Bye, y'all. I'm out, man. Shout out B-Soul, man. Rhythmics Radio Audio. Y'all know where to find us. Definitely follow him. Check out www.rhythmicsradio.com. And shout out to everybody else, man. Peace, love,
Ryan Shalom. Show next up, man.
Oh, and shout out Jake for running the boards. Two guys bull chatting. Serve is subsumed what we live in without a given. So as long as I'm living, I can never get in. It's like the second you on top of the world, you push them next by the one you thought you knew who they were. Come to expect worst case scenario. Trust is no longer relevant. Vision becomes fog. Decisions made from sentiment. You're worse when the devil seizes the opportunity. A unity of cruelty. Will you surrender to this manipulation when the man's character is judged by his stubbornness in a confrontation? You by the edge. Just one more trick and you fall. You call yourself a warrior, just go in the town. Not even. I might as well be deaf, taking in all these cowards lies. Will I let him destroy everything I built with my dude? The only one to focus his eye. Looking up to the sky, looking for answers, questioning why. The second I almost give in, I hear this reply. Been thrown to the curve, left me there without a word. It's my struggle to the top, so sit back and observe. It's a true world we live in, with nothing given. So as long as I'm living, I can never give in. Been thrown to the curve, left me there without a word. It's my struggle to the top, so sit back and observe. It's a true world we live in, with nothing given. So as long as I'm living, I can never give in. It's like the second you graduate, life starts to infiltrate. Shit gets so serious, no longer just a piece of cake. But see, I got started just a little earlier, from banging in the hood, thinking I was some sort of warrior. Till I got a hernia, up older as a teen. But the I be changing diapers at the age of 16. Molded into a soldier by the petty rules of the streets. But molded into a man when my son said that he ain't revving no more. Cause he ain't the G I thought he was. How can he take care of a life when he can't take care of his own? I might as well be deaf, taking in all these cowards lies. Supposed to be a soldier by my side, but really a snake in disguise. How can you judge when you don't have the heart to walk through what I've been through? Then the devil whispers.
whispers. Suddenly I hear this reply. Been thrown to the curb, left but dead without a word. It's my struggle to the top, so sit back and observe. It's a true world we live in, with nothing given. So as long as I'm living, I can never give in. Been thrown to the curb, left but dead without a word. It's my struggle to the top, so sit back and observe. It's a true world we live in, with nothing given. So as long as I'm living, I can never give in. Better believe you got the soldier here. I'm built to survive. If you another nigga with cloud and judgment, just move aside. I've been in this earth only 22 years and half of my life revolved around petty beef with so many enemies. I'm blessed to be alive. When it comes to this beef shit, I've experienced like a butcher. All about survival, we're struggling to the top. Little niggas do the same shit, just dipping toward the same man. Just move it forward. Been blessed with a destiny, so it's my duty to fulfill my call. Yo, ever expect me to give it so easily? Built to survive with your hate, so people they stop when I'm dropping these lyrics so skillfully. Sounding that you can't believe it, like Ripley. Starting your head like you think it's so simply. Give you my all, just like you were my kid, baby. What can I say? I'm just genuine, simply. I know you feel mine. Struggles to the top and it just won't stop. But you ride by my side and you wish me to flop. I do this for the real Jenny by my son. I'm gonna follow their heart and never was hot. Otherwise, only thing you gonna be popping to soak them pop up with motherfucking Glock control. But it never, cause you really ain't hard. You really just weak and he got you on lock. While I'm all about it falling, fulfilling my calling. All about it falling, fulfilling my calling. All about evolving, fulfilling my calling. All about evolving, fulfilling my calling.